this workshop is the women's breakout, and Nanette's going to be our first speaker.
I don't want to knock this over. So, hi, my name is Nanette. I'm Addit.
Hi, Nanette.
This is all surprising to me. I thought I was doing a panel meeting. So, I didn't know I was going to be speaking. So, my name is Nanette. I'm an Addit.
Hi, Nanette.
I just celebrated 21 years on December the 5th. And I like to, remember when I came into this program in Narcotics Anonymous, I always share, because I see we got some newcomers here, that when I came into the rooms, I came in here like a student. Because, see, one thing I knew when I came into this program, my very best thinking got me here. Yeah. My very best thinking. So if my very best thinking got me here, that let me know my thinking was off, right? That's my best thinking. So when I got here, I tried all the things that most people do. Well, I can say what I did. I tried all kind of avenues to try to control my drug using. Where to the point where I was like trying to, I could only do it on the weekends or just every other month. I stopped many times, so I knew how to stop. I didn't know how to stay stopped. So by the time I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I wanted to know, how do you stay stopped? So when I came here, like I said, I came here like a student. I wanted you guys to teach me how to stay stopped. And that's what it was about. So when they told me to come in, get honest, get a sponsor, work some steps, do the 5 suggestions, I did exactly what you guys told me to do. And I began my recovery process. So I can be up in here and be clean. So one thing I learned, I can't measure clean time with freedom.
Okay.
Right? So just because a person got 20 years clean or 15 years or 18 years or 3 years does not mean that a person with freedom is now more prepared than a person with 20 years clean and she's not working a program. Because I can be in the program, not working no steps, and I'm clean and crazy. I can dress up, put my fingernails on, comb my hair, do all those little fancy things, and not work on the inside of me, and I will be a dressed up trash can, right? So when I came to the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, I wanted to know, how do you stay stopped? And I remember that 30-step prayer, God, take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live. I would just forbidding me say that over. Show me how to live life without dope. Show me how to live. That's all I wanted to do, was stop getting high. I had no idea working some steps, practicing some principles, applying them to my life was going to change me.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was messed up. I just thought I just got high. You take the dope away, I was okay.
Right.
But what I found out is, one of my number one things was I was very controlling. Oh my God, I was so controlling that I made people sick being around me.
Yeah.
That's bad. When people are like, oh, and it's funny how my higher power showed me me. Because I remember saying to my higher power, God, show me what you see when you see Nanette. Before you ever do that, make sure you're ready for the answer. But what I found out, I said a little too soon, and my high power showed me just how crazy I really was. You know? But what he showed me through the controlling part was, my little nieces now, I have some little great nieces. My mom used to say, this one act just like you, and she like your twin, and she like your little sister. So the one who act like me, I watched her. And man, I said, I had my number one resentment was my daddy. And my mom used to tell my little niece, great niece, Anastasia, go do this, go do that. She would say, Grandma, I can do it myself. So God allowed me to see me in this little girl, as a little girl, understanding that reason why I didn't let me and my daddy have a good relationship, because I wouldn't let my daddy be my daddy.
Yeah.
I blamed him for everything. But when I started looking at my part, because I didn't think I had a part. I'm 5 years old. How do I have a part? But I had a part, because when my daddy was trying to show me that some daddy, I can do it myself. I know I said that. I know me, because I was so dominant spirit. So with the controlling, my higher power allowed me to see through that little girl again, that they couldn't, I don't have any children. So my niece and nephews became my kids. My sisters and them shared their kids with me. And then my great niece and nephews, they shared their kids with me. And so here come Aunt Nanette. I lived in Texas at the time I got clean. And my most of my family lived in, some lived here and some, a lot lived in Wichita. So I would fill my car up a whole bunch of stuff, take it to Wichita. Oh, here come Aunt Nanette. They were so happy to see my ass. Because I had a whole bunch of stuff to give away. A whole bunch of toys and socks and panties. I mean, I just had all kind of stuff. But then I get there and I give them all their gifts and we have fun that night. The next morning, I'm crazy. I'm a whirlwind in my family's life because I'm controlling some shit. Y'all better get your asses up and we're going to clean my mama's house. Because I'm looking at my mother, what the hell? You know, we didn't live like this. And they just had my mama's house looking crazy. So I had them scrubbing walls and doing patterns around the walls and, you know, blinds and stuff. And that's when I realized my family loved to see me come, but they couldn't wait till my ass left. I was causing so much pain trying to control some stuff. And that's when I realized that my controlling caused a lot of pain. Right? Let me tell you, to tell a little bit about my using days, I was so crazy when I got high. I was indispensable. I would literally, y'all look at me today, you'll never believe this, but you put some dope, give me some dope, and let me tell you who I become. I'm a robber, I rob. I don't rob individuals, I go rob companies. By my damn self now, in my best thinking. Because my best thing is, if you're going to rob some shit by yourself, you ain't going to tell on yourself, right? So I found my, and I found out I wasn't that good of a robber because I kept going to penitentiary, right? So I kind of stopped there when I got to Texas. They said, don't mess with Texas. I said, well, I ain't messing with Texas because I ain't supposed to get underneath the penitentiary, you know? So I started finding out doing some other things in my addiction, like, you know, jumping over fences, getting scrap metal, just doing all kind of crazy stuff. I remember this guy who liked to start Jolly Ranchers. So when my money was funny, when I had money, or even when I wasn't even getting high, I would go get a handful of Jolly Ranchers and have a bag, a big old bag of Jolly Ranchers, and that was my backup plan when my money was low. Because that man would give you some stuff for some Jolly Ranchers. I'm serious. He would give you a lot of he would give you some stuff for some Jolly Ranchers. So I would already plan that stuff in my head way before I ever used the dope. I could be clean for a month or whatever. Like I said, I knew how to stop. I just didn't know how to stay stopped. So I came to the Drugs and Narcotics Anonymous again to learn how to stay stopped. Not just about the dope today. Now I'm trying to learn how do I stop harming the net. See, I found out the dope, once the dope is gone, my manifestation of my disease is everywhere. How do you stop hurting the net? I stopped controlling first. Then I found that I started working a lot of jobs. I worked 2 jobs, 3 jobs at one time. I don't even know how I made it to meetings. I don't know how I had a boyfriend. I had a live-in boyfriend at that time. Don't know how I kept them because I was always at work chasing a dollar. Then it became going to the casinos, you know. And I remember it got to a point in my life, and I didn't stay in casinos very long. It was a very short-lived situation because it was making me broke really quick. I mean, it was like a few times. But I felt that feeling, the same feeling that when I spent all my money, that sick, sad feeling that I got when I ran out of dope. And I remember me running to my home group saying, oh, hell no, I ain't messing with this casino no more, because it gave me some familiar pain.
Yeah.
You know, like, what the hell happened? And I realized, for me, casino's worse than any dope I know.
Yeah.
Any dope I know.
That's right.
You know, I could run after men. I like men. I like sex. I'm always trying to find some kind of new fix to fix me. And I had a relationship a few years ago, that I was in a relationship for 12 years. And let me tell you, this guy, I don't even know what happened. I know he had a car accident. I mean, got hit by a car. He had some hit his head and kind of had a little issues going on. And he started acting really crazy. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I remember he was just going, what? Like real bipolar or something. I was like, hey, stop. Wait a minute. What's going on here? And I said, you need to get some help because I can't live like this. I don't know what, but I know a lot of it had to do with this, the injury he had in his head, but he was already a little bipolar before that. But I knew that it had got worse. So he went and got some medicine, he got better, he became the perfect boyfriend. And then he had got a lawsuit from the people who hit him, and all of a sudden he started changing. I said, are you still taking your medicine? He was like, I ain't taking that medicine for the rest of my life. I said, but you, how are we going to be together? Because you acting crazy again, you know? And I remember my high power telling me, Nanette, where I'm trying to take you, Sam can't go.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you, I had a big, nice, pretty house. 5 really nice fancy cars in the driveway. And I had to look at this big old yard and this nice house, and I'm looking like, am I going to give all this up? Because if we get this together, me and him. But I had to look at what's more important. Because what I found out is he started drinking again. I didn't see him drink, but I knew it. He started smoking weed again. I didn't see it, but I knew it. And then my high power told me that I was compromising my belief system. Because I live a clean life, straight up clean life. Am I perfect? I don't use no dope, no alcohol, no NyQuil, no nothing. But my higher power told me I was compromising my belief system. So I had to learn. I said, hey, it's okay if you don't want to take your medicine. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But it's my job to take care of me. My responsibility to take care of me, and I let go. I had to sell the house, and before all that happened, I went to work, and I got off early that day, and his niece stayed with us. And so I come home and hear the music all loud. I can smell alcohol, or some, you can smell that party scent, you know, alcohol, whatever, like they've been smoking cigarettes. I just smell some, sorry, the music's loud. I walk in the house, they don't hear me come in. I walk in the house. And there's this girl doing all this stuff, his own blood niece, on him. I was so stunned, I couldn't even think of it. I'm not quick like you young people to get that phone out. Wish I had a got that phone, but I was just so stunned. I was just standing there watching. They didn't know I was there. And then they tried to tell me I didn't see what I seen. I said, look, I'm clean. I am not I'm not confused what I seen.
Right.
Yeah. But I was so devastated I couldn't even believe my own eyeballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so devastating that I'd loved this guy for 12 years.
Wow.
And to believe that he would do something like that. I wouldn't have been surprised if there had been another woman. No, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? But your own family, that threw me for a loop. I never had a hard time dealing with that. So one thing I learned, work on the program. Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to work through the process of my pain, the confusion, the letdown, the rejection, disappointment. I don't have to run away from those feelings anymore. That I can live through them. I walk through my mother's death, my best friend died on my 7-year clean date. I walk through some feelings clean because through Narcotics Anonymous and working the steps and living the program, I didn't have to pick up because I became a part of no matter what. No matter what comes into my life, do I pick up? Was it easy? No, it's not easy. But I stood onto the ground. Because one thing I did learn in the literature, my sponsor would always tell me, read the literature. It says, we never seen an addict who lived the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. It said never. Not every once in a while. It said never. So that's a fucking guarantee, y'all. If you live the program, it says that we can stay clean.
That's right.
All you gotta do is live the program, live this way of life. There's a whole shot. Relapse is not a choice. I mean, relapse is a choice, it's not an accident.
Right.
So I can't go make no excuses. The reason why I did this, you know, because he didn't act this way. No, I learned that.
Come on, baby.
I learned that in recovery. I'm so grateful for this program of Narcotics Anonymous, because Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life, saved my ass many times.
Yes.
I haven't been back to prison since I think the last case that I had was 1993. I haven't had no more cases since then. And it wasn't because I was in Narcotics Anonymous. I just became a smarter addict and I just quit robbing people. That was the first thing. I realized I was not a good robber. Now, did I did the program right? And did I did the program perfect every single time, all 21 years? No. It's only just a few years ago I quit buying food stamps, y'all.
Yeah.
I found that working myself, I love a hookup.
Yeah.
I love the 2-for-1. I always have. I'm addicted to a hookup. But you know how hard it is to not buy some food stamp? Especially when you see the price. I'm like, God, $8, you know. So but I'm so grateful to Today, I just go find stuff on Clarence. Okay, this is what we having for dinner tonight. Because I don't want to buy food stamps anymore. I don't want to hurt the system. I don't want to damage my recovery because I'm trying to live honest. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't missed a meal. Can y'all tell? Yeah. I ain't missed not one meal.
That's a good thing.
I'm grateful for this program. How much time I got? I'm grateful for this program because my life has changed so dramatically. It's so amazing because even my family, if y'all been in a program long enough, you know your family think you're a philosopher, you know. Can't say your face and your ass at the same time, sister. You know, I would tell her some recovery shit, you know, when my family come to me and they think I'm telling them some real, it's like some shit I make, like I'm really, you know, smart. And I'm just throwing some recovery stuff out there on them, you know. I'm grateful because this program has taught me how to live life clean. No more food stamps. I quit stealing a long time ago. Now, when I did my step, when I started my sponsor, my first sponsor made me do a write-out list about, you know, about me, my journey. And I found that I always steal before I ever pick up. No matter how many times I stop using, like I said, I knew how to stop. I just didn't stay stopped. I stayed stopped for 5 years one time. But I always, through my writing and journal, I found that I always go steal first before I ever start picking up. So I made amends to never steal again. That's my son. If I decide I want to steal, I'm putting myself in jeopardy of being in relapse mode. Then I heard one of my predecessors, they in this room too, they told me when you go to the 7-Eleven and Quick Trip and you get all those creamers and you stick them in your pocket and you get all those ketchups and you don't really need that many ketchups and you get all those salt, pepper shakers, things because you don't want to, you just need some extra, or those stacking napkins in the glove department, that's stealing. I'm like, what? I've been stealing all this time. Not intentionally, but I thank God for my predecessors who gave me the awareness. Today, I make sure I only get what I need.
Right.
I can ask for a few extra napkins, but I don't go take them like I used to. I just take a stack. I don't know if I thought I was going to run out of toilet paper or what. But I just had a thing about stacking napkins. I didn't like I had a runny nose or nothing. I just liked a lot of napkins. I'm grateful. Because my life has changed so dramatically. And the most important thing, I am getting better. I'm getting free. Free from the net.
Yes.
That's the power. And one of the, you know what, when I first came into the rooms, I heard a guy share. And he was sharing. So the shit he was sharing, I was like, I cannot believe he just said that.
Yeah.
Not only did he say it in front of men, but he said it in front of us girls too. I couldn't believe he said that. But you know what? I was so attracted to his freedom.
Right, right.
That attracted me to Narcotics Anonymous because that man was free. He didn't give a damn what I did with his information. But all I knew was I wanted to be free like him.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be free from the ugly side of me. And there's a lot of ugly side about me that, you know, like I said, I'm controlling. That's like the ugliest of the thing. I'm very controlling. I'm getting better. I'm actually not nowhere near as controlling as I used to be. You know, I really work hard on trying not to control people because it's very ugly from my point of view. And we think we don't harm people, but we do harm people with being controlling. See that subtle harm? I like to talk about this subtle harm, and I always like to share about subtle harm. Subtle harm is like the unnoticed harm. The shit you did and you don't know, you don't realize you harmed somebody. If I slap you upside your head, you know I harmed you, right? But when I say the little slick shit behind your back,
yeah,
or do little slick shit on the side, or take your shit or screw your man, whatever, you know, I'm harming you.
Yeah.
And that's the harm that I try to pay attention to when I'm doing my 10 step. It's like, what have I done today? Have I hurt anybody? Because I don't want to hurt nobody today. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cause no harm in my life at all. To nobody, especially nobody I know, or anybody come across my path and say, here come the net again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a whirlwind in somebody else's life. Not anymore. You know, my life is great. I have a husband who's in recovery. And, man, that's pretty cool. When you get a husband in recovery, he's working some steps. See, when I let go of that pain of that crazy guy who was messing around with his niece, and I found that they even got a baby on top of that together. Yeah, I found that out too.
Wow.
Was that painful and disbelief? Yes. But by me letting go and listening to my higher power who told me, Nanette, where I'm trying to take you, he can't go. I held on to that. I held on to what I heard. And I trusted my higher power. Learn to trust God no matter how life unfolds. It's powerful if you can get there. How do you learn? How do you trust people? How do you trust God? Something you don't see, but trying to build that exercise and that faith, you know, building my exercising my faith so that I can do better and trust my higher power to make better decisions than Annette. I told you I was sick. I told you I had bad thinking processing. I'm getting better. I'm a lot better. A sponsor can help me see clarity where I can't see clarity in my own life. That's what the sponsorship is about. When I got into Narcotics Anonymous, they said 5 suggestions. I followed those 5 suggestions. I got a sponsor. I got an NA book. I read it. I applied some steps. Applied some principles. Like I said, I'm in recovery today, and I can say that today. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Anybody new or newer than me, keep coming back. This program works if you work it. You die if you don't.
Right.
Keep coming back, no matter what. Even when life seems like it's upside down, even when life seems painful, you can walk through this clean. I'm a living example. I buried a lot of people in my family. Like I said, I buried my best friend, 2 brothers, a niece, a nephew. I buried a lot of people clean, but I just refused to pick up. So if I can do it, I know you can do it. My name is Annette. Thanks for being here.
Love you, Annette.
Thank you.
My name's Susan. I'm an addict.
Hi, Susan.
Oh, I'm really grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be in a room of women. I was telling some people that I know, I don't really understand what a women's rap is supposed to be, what a women's breakout is supposed to be. And people are like, just share, right? You know, I know that there are a few things that I've been through that we as women face that the men don't. And, you know, I thought I was going to get up here and talk about some of that, like the health problems that I've faced, like when your insides start falling out that people don't fucking talk about, and getting through some of that shit. But I saw that the theme for the convention was finding light in the darkness. And this last year has been really fucking dark. And it's not the first time in recovery that it's been dark. My clean date's 6/27/14, so I just had 11 years. And when I got clean, I didn't want to get clean for myself. I wanted to get clean to get my kids back because I was, I don't know, 36 years old. My kids were 13 and 15, and they had walked away from me voluntarily because they couldn't watch me slowly kill myself anymore. And at the end of the road, I was laying in the corner of a dirty crack house in a fetal position, hating myself and wanting to die. And like going on a run, trying to make that happen, and it just never happened. I kept waking up, right? And one day, my dealer looked at me and he was like, "You are reckless. You need to get some help." And he drove me to the detox. And I started on this journey. And it wasn't my first time trying to get clean. I had gone to a rehab one other time. And like I went to this fucking hospital this time. And I told him, like, "I know what I did wrong last time. Just let me out and I'll do it right." And I had no fucking clue what I was talking about. But the disease of addiction was trying to work on me early on. And what it looked like is legal charges, homelessness, no car, like giving all the physical stuff away, no self-respect, no self-love. I couldn't look myself in the mirror. You know, I didn't have my kids anymore. CPS was now involved. It was just a mess. It was a huge mess that was completely overwhelming for me to even think about, like, where do I start fixing this? And I ended up in some long-term treatment, man. The hospital detox wanted to put me in like a treatment center, and I got clean in New York. And the treatment center that I went in was 72 women for 9 months. And what it allowed me to do is to start seeing myself in other people. So what happened while I was there, when I was 3 months clean, my kids decided to move back to Oklahoma with their dad. And I accepted drug court on the charge. I had a legal charge at the time, too. I accepted drug court because I didn't feel like I was worth recovery. Like, I didn't want to stay clean. I didn't feel like I was worth it. And I knew that I needed something over my head. You know, I kind of thought I was beating the legals by putting myself in this treatment center, and I accepted drug court on this charge, and they're like, yeah, we don't really like that treatment center. And so they put me in a halfway house after I completed that treatment center, and then I went into a three-quarter house. So I ended up spending a total of 21 months in treatment, but it gave me a really good foundation, and it introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous. So it took me a little while to really... What I knew is when Narcotics Anonymous came into the treatment center, I was locked and loaded. I wanted to share with them, but I got, you know, and I would attempt to, but like, I would lose my train of thought, I would get embarrassed, I would shut down, but I kept coming to the meetings, and I kept trying. And then when I got out to where I could make meetings, you know, I followed the suggestions. I got a sponsor, and I got a home group, and I got a service position. The very first service position I ever got was greeter. We don't have that shit around here. You know, I stood at the door and I hugged every single person that came into the meeting, and it was the most uncomfortable thing that I have ever done because I was animalistic. Like, I didn't know how to talk to anybody. I couldn't look anybody in the eye. It was the most uncomfortable thing ever, but it's exactly what I needed. People started to learn my name, and I started to learn other people's name, and it allowed me to feel a part of. And then when I started the step working process, I basically started writing what I thought my sponsor wanted to hear. I had no fucking idea what I was really doing, and I didn't have the humility to say, hey, I don't understand this. Like, what am I doing? And so I ended up going through a few different sponsors, and I think I was on my third sponsor before I made it to my sixth step at like 6 years clean, maybe 5 years clean. And I was getting ready to do this list of character defects, and I Googled them because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I ended up with like a list of 86 defects, and I didn't believe a fucking word of it. And I just made it to this place where I didn't know if I was going to make it out clean or alive. And it was time that I did something different. And I had already talked to this woman about sponsoring me because I had moved to Oklahoma, and I didn't really realize that disease of addiction was expressing itself because, you know, they were different than it was like in New York. And like, I would come to the meeting late and I would leave early, and I would, you know, like, my walls were up here. I didn't want you guys to know that I was fucking hurting inside. I didn't know that you guys were the answer. I didn't know that you guys could help. And so I suffered in silence for years, doing what I always did, just fucking wearing the mask, like making everybody think that everything was okay. And so what happened over the course of this is like, Before I got clean and I ended up surrendering my nursing license, I went to nursing school when I was fucking 17 years old, straight out of high school, became an LPN at the age of 18. And I surrendered my license at like 8 years into like nursing because I started diverting drugs from my job and I was getting high and like being up for 3 days and trying to take care of people and fucking passing out at the nurse's station and just crazy shit. And just thinking that was normal. And I ended up losing my license. When I was clean, I got it back. 3 years clean, I got my nursing license back. And so basically what happened when I got that nursing license back, I entered a consent agreement with the State Board of Nursing in Arkansas for 5 years. And they had requirements. I had to come to 3 meetings a week. That means getting my paper signed, taking drug tests, and like the disease of addiction was expressing itself during that time, but it gave me the time to continue coming to hear what I needed to hear, for other people to share how the disease of addiction expresses itself today, like how the disease shows up today, because I'm telling you guys, like, I was, the denial was thick. I didn't think I had character defects. Wow. Like, my life looked good on the outside. So it just gave me enough time to really start identifying with other people who shared, like, what that looks like. And I was like, oh, I'm fucking missing something here. And I ended up starting over my step work with this woman that I had asked, like, a year previously. She told me, like, yeah, I'll sponsor you, but we're going to start at our symbol. And I was like,
oh, man.
I was like, don't you know who I am and all this work I've already done? Working 5 steps in a 12-step program. Like, I didn't realize, you know, it's a fucking first step issue. Like, right. Do we take everything as a personal attack? Yes. Yeah. I didn't realize that she was going to walk me through the beginning of our literature that helps me really identify, like, concede on a deep level that I'm an addict. Because I came around for a long time saying it but not believing it.
Right.
I just wanted to fit in. And so, like, being able to get to that place where I didn't know if I was going to make it out clean or alive. I saw this woman in meetings for like a year, and I wouldn't talk to her. And I had this pit in my gut, and I didn't know what it was. But I finally went to her, and I'm like, I'm ready to do something different. And basically, she started walking me through, like, the preparation to the process. Like, I belong to a home group that's a literature study, and we study literature like a paragraph at a time. And what I love about it is it allows me to get perspective from different people, and it allows me to share mine. You know, like, nowhere before Narcotics Anonymous did I ever feel like I had a voice, and here I was taught that I do. And not only do I have a voice, it's unique to me. And, you know, the idea of public speaking before Narcotics Anonymous frightened the shit out of me. It was so fucking scary. And still today, like, it's scary. But you guys have taught me to walk through the pain. Not the pain, the fear, right? Like, to have the courage. So I started this step working process with this woman, and basically, like, my daughter, her and I have this fucking relationship that I can't even begin to explain what it's like, right? We have this bond. It's the most beautiful thing ever. Her brother is 2 years older, and it's felt like it's been forced. I didn't really know how to show up. I was afraid to really open up and let him share his feelings because of how it might hurt me. Like, it's all fucking self-centered and self-obsession. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even make it to, like, I was making living amends because we were around each other, but I never made, like, an actual formal amends to him. And I had some behaviors that didn't fly with him and his new wife. I also found a husband in Narcotics Anonymous, or he found me, or God put us together, whatever. You know, like, we got married last year, and it's the healthiest relationship. It's the healthiest relationship I've ever been in my life. He understands the disease of addiction. Like, you know, like, we get to be human. We don't have to keep score. It's a beautiful thing. Not to run away from conflict and treat relationships as disposable anymore, but totally lost my train of thought.
It's all right. Take
your time. Oh, so, like, I met this guy and I started dating him, and I knew immediately something was different. And we took it slow. We had to, because we were in different areas. Like, God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And my son and his daughter, or his wife, my daughter-in-law, asked me to help with a baby shower. They wanted his mom, her mom, and I to throw a baby shower. And I had just kind of been around my husband's family and seen these amazing, like, birthday parties and shit that they put on. I'm talking, like, Pinterest quality stuff, and I'm just, like, blown away. So I asked for their help, right? And I mention it to my son, and they're like, we don't want anybody there that we don't know. And I'm like, fuck. I didn't think of that, and I don't agree with it.
Right?
Like, these people want to fucking show up for you. They want to get to know you. But his point was, like, you've always been forcing relationships on me. And he's right. In addiction, in recovery, getting with these fucking guys that I just expected them to accept. And ultimately just causing pain in the process. So, long story short, it's been tumultuous. I've continued to show up. I've followed direction. It's not something that I've walked through alone. About 2 years ago, like, he's just completely stopped talking to me, blocked me on everything, blocked my daughter on everything, and that ultimately came from my daughter telling him, like, you know, because he got disrespectful with me, and it pissed my daughter off, and she was just like, I don't know who the fuck you think you are talking to our mom like that. And of course, he thought I put her up to it. So, like, it's just... it's been an ongoing thing that the disease of addiction has used to attack me for years. And I'm talking about, like, the very first time the disease of addiction, like, I'm working steps, I'm spending time in the meeting, talking to my sponsor, and I leave the meeting from writing step work, and I drive home, and the disease of addiction says, he doesn't give a fuck about you. You should just get a bag of dope so big, you know it'll kill you, and do it on Facebook Live so he has to watch you die. Crazy shit. And so... That's where I've been the last year, is just, like, having these fucking suicidal thoughts, just, like, intrusive suicidal thoughts. And I have the most beautiful life, but there's one piece that's missing, and that's what the disease of addiction likes to grab onto. And so, like, I constantly have to reorient myself to the... I can't even tell you the amount of people that I have in my life and the unconditional love. Like, it's amazing. So I have to constantly, like, be brought back in the moment, and, like, what can I do and how can I be of service? And, like, I know I gotta let him have his process, and I have to continue to work on me. So, like, when that happens, if it happens... because I've kind of gotten to the place where if I have to bear the pain for the rest of my life so he doesn't have to, then I'm willing to do that.
So, like, I've heard a lot this weekend about, like, the third step and just trusting God. I've heard 4 people talk this morning about cancer and, like, walking through cancer. Being cured of cancer, having terminal cancer, and not fucking being ruled by it. And, like, I want to have that kind of faith in my higher power.
Yeah.
And there was another workshop this morning about hope. And the last person that got up, like, they ended up doing a little workshop ordeal out of it. The last person that got up and shared talked about being in the exact same situation as me and giving it to God, and it took him 15 years.
Come on.
But his son called him.
Yeah.
And it feels so fucking hopeless. So I'm exactly where I needed to be this weekend to hear what I needed to hear. I've been kind of disconnected from the fellowship a little bit for the last year. I went through an accelerated LPN to BSN program, and I graduated December 12th.
Good job.
So I haven't traveled as much. And I haven't, you know, I've lost a lot of connection. Like, people that I sponsored stopped calling. I didn't call my sponsor as much. I haven't been working my steps as much. And just trying to, like, dig back into that.
Yeah.
I took my licensure exam yesterday afternoon, right? And you don't find out immediately if you passed. And so I love my husband, but I can't stand that motherfucker sometimes. He calls me when I tell him I'm on my way home, and I have shared with them about, like, this trick, this Pearson View trick, that you can, like, try to schedule another exam after you've taken your exam, and if it lets you pay and schedule, you failed.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then you pass. And it's not 100%, but he's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. You should probably just give it to God and surrender. And I was like, I have. But I'm going to check. I'm like, you act like I can control some shit just by checking. Like, I'm not going to change anything. And he was like, yeah, you are controlling some shit. Your feelings. And I was like, fuck you. So, I checked anyway. I got the good pop-up, but it's not official. It's just, it's been a beautiful process, you know, even in the pain. There's always someone who has walked through what I'm walking through. I never know exactly where my help is coming from or who I'm called to help. It's just important for me to be in position, and I have to think of that with, like, this situation with my kid. Like, I continue to show up and just be in position. I ended up finding some outside help in addition to Narcotics Anonymous, because when I started having some serious suicidal thoughts, it scared the shit out of me. You know, it's just like, I know that's not what I want for myself, but, like, when that shit creeps in, it's scary. So that's what I've been doing, is just taking some positive action and finding the place in between, like, what's the disease of addiction and what's mental health is, they're so enmeshed sometimes.
Yeah.
I wanted to read out of Living Clean, our physical selves, a miracle, emotional and spiritual crisis. It says, we go through intense emotional changes in recovery, and they can be frightening.
Too often, we mistake spiritual crisis for mental illness. Grief, depression, or panic may come over us in a wave. Memories come up from the past, and it seems to swallow our present. And all too often, this can be part of the process we go through on our way to freedom. What we really want is a cure for our feelings. The pain of spiritual growth can feel like a depression. A dark night of the soul can be frightening and lonely. But what is happening on inside is often the process that will bring us to the light. So, I have mental health diagnosis. I have the disease of addiction. Right now I'm trying to treat both, you know. And that's the best I can do, right? It's just part of it. I don't know if the mental health diagnoses were there before the addiction and I was medicating them. It doesn't really fucking matter. What matters is I'm taking positive action. And doing something different. So ultimately, like, I know that the step working process in Narcotics Anonymous has already brought about a fundamental transformation in who I was. And I continue doing that to continue to get to know myself, because I still have denial in places, like what I just told you about my husband. I'm like, I'm not trying to control anything. And sometimes I need someone outside of myself to help me see myself. And I don't love it when it's him. So, where am I at on time? Good?
Sorry.
It's all right. I'm really grateful to be here with you guys. Welcome to the newcomers.
Yes, welcome.
You are the most important people here. Mm-hmm. We could not do this without you. Our message is hope. Our promise is freedom, that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live.
Hi guys, my name is Susan as well, and I'm an addict. And, you know, by the grace of God and my higher power and this, you know, same thing, I'm super nervous. The program of Narcotics Anonymous, I've been clean since January 9th of 2023. I came into the program in 2022. You know, I worked with another addict, and I think she's seen in me things I didn't see in myself, and knew, like, to help me out of that darkness, and knew to bring me to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm really grateful for that. When I came into the rooms, I hated myself. Like, I wanted to die. I did not want to be here anymore. I'm super nervous. Like, I feel like no more or less qualified to be standing up here than anyone else in this room, and I'm really honored for someone to have asked me. You know, like, I don't know, going back to my childhood, I guess, maybe. You know, I grew up in a family. I grew up in a really unsafe environment for a child to grow up in a lot of different ways. When I was 6, my grandfather went to prison for sexually abusing me and my little sisters. And that was just the first incident and the first person. And alcohol became a really common thing in my house. My mom moved from husband to husband to husband. And I learned really quick how to numb the pain and where my worth was, and that was in my body. You know, and when I got independence, like, I took that shit and I ran with it. And I ran to any toxic man I could find as a result. I got married when I was 18 years old to someone who was abusing me before I married him. someone who was cheating on me before I married him. Like all the bad things, but I just wanted out. Like I just wanted someone to love me. So I chased that shit. And, you know, for a really long time, I blamed my childhood, and I blamed the husband, and I blamed all these other situations, for every single behavior that I had in my life into adulthood. Like, if you had my life, you'd numb that shit too. If you had my life, you would want to escape from it too. You just, I'm different. And, when I came into the rooms, like, that's what I wanted to tell you guys too. Like, I didn't do the things you did. I'm different. I don't qualify for this program. Like, I'm different. Like, it took me about 10 months of coming into this room. Like, you know, I put together 45 days. And, you know, some of you in here know a lot about me. Some don't, but... You know, through birthday night and playing Cards Against Humanities, I seen another addict with probably like 25 days, and I'm like, I like that guy. After the friend that brought me in told us both to stay away from each other. So, you know, he was in sober living, and I had like no days clean. And I moved him in. And like, you know, that, because that was a great idea. And like, he had told me he was going to relapse. And,
oh, dang.
And I moved him in because I like, my favorite thing at the time was Dancing with the Devil. Like, that's just what I thought was fun. Like, I liked chaos. Anything that was normal, any kind of normal, I didn't know what a normal relationship was. Like, I still am struggling to learn that today. You know, but I moved him in, and we were in the dope house like a week later. And then, you know, that lasted for a few months, and, you know, a couple times we called the cops, you know, all the chaos that comes along with that, and we both ended up in sober living houses. I lost my house, I lost, you know, almost lost my job, and all those things, and put together 91 whole days clean, like, 91's pretty amazing. Like, if you... You know, if you're new and you've got one day clean or a week clean, like, I know how hard it is to get 91 days clean because I fought for months to put that together. And, you know, I still hadn't built that foundation. Like, I still, there's these five suggestions that they tell you when you go to meetings, and it's to not to use, right? To get a sponsor, find a higher power, read the literature, and go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I believe today that there's reasons why they tell you that. It's building that foundation and getting that routine, and I wasn't doing that. And at 91 days clean, I packed up my sober living house, me and him, and we went to Missouri to relapse again. And that lasted for about a month. And January 9th of 23, I surrendered, and I've been clean ever since. I came back to... Thank you. I came back to Oklahoma, and you know, like, we talk about God's will in Narcotics Anonymous, and it's sometimes my head can go in circles, like, knowing what God's will for me is. But I know that when like the good things work out, line up one after another, that I know that I'm walking in my higher power's will today. And that's how it worked when I came back to Oklahoma. You know, I had a job before I came back. I had an apartment before I came back. I was moved out of my storage unit. Everything moved in within 24 hours of me being back home. And within a week of me coming home, I had 90 days clean. And I knew, like, we preach service work in here for a reason. So I started chairing meetings. I probably did too much. Like, I'm sure my sponsors, because I've had a couple, would tell you. But I did a whole lot, and I probably did too much in my first year of recovery. But I needed that. To me, I needed that protection. I needed to build some relationships with some women, because I fucking hated y'all. I didn't trust you. Like, you all wanted to sleep with the person that I was with. Every single one of you, I was convinced. Like, you had no good intentions towards me, or you were jealous, or like, you had kids, and like, I don't have kids. Like, there's tons of reasons why, like, we're just gonna hate each other. So, like, I went to every single group conscience, went to every area business meeting. I even went to region. and got to meet some pretty cool people. Like, those people at Regent are pretty awesome people. I surrounded myself with people that had years of recovery, that knew how to do this thing. That's what I did in my first year clean. I got on every committee I could get on. But I could do it. You know, I trusted my higher power to provide for me, and he did. I got a sponsor. I asked this lady to sponsor me that, you know, before my relapse, I didn't really know a whole lot about her. I just knew that I wasn't supposed to like her. So, I came to meetings, and I shut my mouth and I fucking listened, and I'm listening to her share, and I'm like, man, like, she should probably be my sponsor. So we went out to lunch one day, and I texted her, and I'm like, hey, like, just pray about this, but God's telling me that, like, you need to be my sponsor. And, like, it don't make sense. I don't know why. Just pray about it, please. And she said yes, and she was my sponsor for almost 2 years. And I love her so very much. She walked me through the steps, and she held my hand, and, you know, she taught me that it was okay to love myself and that other people love me too. Like, I know that I remember when I got my 1 year coin, and I'm like super cocky and super like protective of myself, and some guy that I don't get along with told me he was proud of me, and I'm like, you don't have to be proud of me because I'm proud of me. And she's looking at me and she's saying something about her loving me, and I'm like, yeah, all right. She's like, no, like, I love you. And I'm like, all right. Because, okay, those are just words. And she made me fucking listen to that. Like, made me listen to that I love you. And it meant a lot. And it made me start believing that when people actually say it, like, it's the actions behind it, right? Because we said that in active addiction all the time to get what we wanted. But these people don't really want anything out of us. They just want to love us. So the women in this room have taught me to love myself. They've taught me to love each other. And I like to push them away. I have this whole row of women beside me that I love today. And I'm really grateful. And that's because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. But, you know, when I got clean, I started working steps. I started being of service. I went to way too many meetings. No, I went to 15 meetings a week for forever. I didn't stop going to meetings every single day probably until I had at least a year clean. And I built a really, really strong foundation. When I first got clean, I made these little bitty goals. Like, I thought they were little bitty, you know. Pay off my car. I had this little Calder the Magic school bus that I had from Car-Mart. And I paid like $12,000 for it that was worth like $3,000. And that was my goal, to pay it off. I had the goal to get my student loans out of default. And to get enrolled in school. My very first goal was to go to a women's retreat. Because the year before I'd made an excuse not to go and didn't go. And I did all those things and more. I'm going to graduate with my bachelor's degree in May. Yeah. That's because of this program. That's because of the work that I've done in this program. If I'd have just gone to meetings and sat in a chair and waited on someone else to give me the message, I would have never got it. Like, I had to go in there and actually want it. I had to go in there and work some steps. And sometimes I feel like I should be further than I am, but I have a higher power that I trust today. You know, I'm really grateful for what both of those ladies shared, because they both shared a little bit about, you know, my story as well and how I'm feeling. Today I do my best to know that no matter what I'm going through, my higher power's got me and I'm going to be okay. The literature talks about how that there's nothing that we're going through today that a bad case of withdrawals won't make worse. There's no feelings that I'm going through that using's not going to make it worse. You know, I think my greatest fear is living. My greatest fear isn't dying. My greatest fear is living. But I know that like a relapse isn't a guaranteed die anyways. So then it's living in that pain. And today I don't have to live in pain. I can live in peace. I can live in happiness. I can choose to be happy today. And most of the time that's what I do. Every day I try to find balance. Like, I work full time. I go to school full time. I have three amazing dogs. I live alone now, by the way, because that guy who I still love very dearly, and these women know that, but he relapsed again. Like we got clean together, and we built a life together. And when I had 22 months clean on my birthday in 24, I had to kick him out. Because I've got 22 months clean and you're high. So I kicked him out and he went to treatment and I had to let him find his own way. Like, I can't be a person's higher power. No one else can be my higher power. And I'm playing God if I try to keep you from finding your bottom. So I had to let him do that. And today, like, he's my best friend. Like, we're not together, but he's shut up. But he's my best friend and we have a healthy relationship, and it's better that we don't live together today. I've lived alone for the last 14 months. Never lived alone in my entire life. And I live alone today, and I pay my own bills, and I know that, like, what is that, like, social acceptability does not equal recovery, or whatever we say. We've got all these cliches, but to me, that one thing, being able to maintain a house, being able to keep my electricity on, and I paid off that car and got a new car and all of these things, these are all like big goals that I know I can accomplish. Like, I don't just have faith in the program because I see things working for you today. I have faith in the program because I know it's worked for me. Oh, it's time to laugh. You're joking. What time is it? Huh? 11 minutes too? All right. I just froze, y'all. I don't know. I'm really grateful for this program, you know. The other Susan was talking about mental health, and I, before finding recovery, I'd been inpatient a few different times, trying to find the solutions to the problems in my head while also clouding that with using, and nothing ever helped. So when I got clean, I made the reckless decision to take myself off my mental health meds. Which was my reckless decision, and I know that today. But I use the literature as a weapon against myself. Because it's a program of complete abstinence, right? Like, complete abstinence. So, like, let's throw the Wellbutrin in the fucking trash. And that's what I did. And it was painful. And but I made it through it. But about a year ago, I decided that, like, maybe I do need some help. So I started the process of going to my doctor, and I still, like, sometimes I think I'm a doctor or something. I don't know. Like, I'm a Google doctor, right? Google MD. I got my degree. So, like, I'll Google these things and Google a med, and then, like, I'll take it for a month and take myself off of it. But I realized that, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, our literature talks about, like, we sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry, and these methods weren't sufficient for us. It didn't say that we didn't need those as well. It didn't say to ignore them. It just said that they weren't sufficient, that we needed the program in Narcotics Anonymous. So I had to get an open mind to be willing to take care of my mental health as well. So today I see a therapist. Like, today I take care of my own mental health. Because how do I carry a message if I'm a mess myself? I don't know. I feel like I'm talking in circles, and I'm just going to create more things to say.
You're doing really good.
Thank you, Becky. Can I stop yet? I don't know. I don't.
It's done.
Yeah, I think I'm done. I think.
Yeah.